Dean, you know, some time ago, when you were on the program during the very horrible period of 9/11, and this is back several years, obviously, but you talked about the Princeton eggs a lot. Has that continued, and is there anything new there in that arena?
The project has continued. It still consists of about 70 random number generators located around the world. And we continue to track worldwide events. We have 216 as of today. The last event that we looked at was Earth Day, April 22nd, and it resulted in a close to significant deviation. Other events that we've looked at include a bombing in Bali, the massive earthquake in Pakistan, that sort of thing. And as many of the experiments that we do, we're interested in what does the evidence look like cumulatively? What does it look like when we look at many events over a long period of time? And with these 216 events, the overall probability is about 400,000 to 1 at this point. So we're pretty confident that we're dealing with some real relationship between collective mind and a form of collective matter.
Dean, tell us about these 70 random generators. You know, a lot of new people jump on board this program, and they're probably saying, what are these? How do they work? Explain the mechanism behind them.
Okay. A random number generator is an electronic circuit that, in essence, is like an electronic coin flipper. It produces sequences of heads and tails in a completely random way, where the randomness can be traced down into the circuitry and ultimately down to individual quantum events. So it's not like oftentimes in computer games you'll find random-looking events, but those are based on algorithms, on software. These are based on actual physical noise. And the idea of it is that we have a hypothesis that there's a relationship between mind and matter. And the relationship is something like an equation where you have an equal sign in the middle and you have mind on one side, matter on the other. And if that hypothesis is true, then when one side of the equation changes, the other has to change. So what we look for then are large-scale changes in the mind side of that equation, and then we look for changes, corresponding changes, in the matter side. And the matter that we use is random numbers. These random number generators.
Are these generators on all the time? Do they have to be turned on at a certain time?
No, they run 24 hours a day, every day. They send their data up through the internet automatically. And the reason we built it this way, it's now going for 8 years,
sure,
continuously, is to take advantage of events that are unexpected, events like 9/11 and earthquakes and so on, to see what happens before, during, and after these events occur.
Dean, after 8 years, how accurate can you say to us tonight that without any doubt, when major events occur, you can see a spike with these generators?
All we can say is that for the 216 events that we've looked at so far, the odds against chance are strong enough to give us confidence that something is going on. For any particular event, any particular kind of event, we don't know. We don't know enough yet about why, what is it about a mental event that causes a change in randomness. But we know from looking at the entire set of events that something is definitely happening.
You've conducted experiments before with the generators. In your opinion, Dean, what has been the highest spike that is way beyond chance? In what event? Was it the 9/11 event?
Well, 9/11, of course, was especially meaningful on many different levels. So it's the event that we've looked at in most detail. And as a result, we know more about what was happening in the random network on that day than we do on any other day. And there were some very strange anomalies that occurred in the random network worldwide. So we're fairly confident that at least on that day that very strange things were happening in the environment, because these random generators essentially are detectors of entropy, of randomness in the environment, and they behaved in a less random fashion during that day. What we guess then is we have to make the inference that because the random generators were no longer acting random, it's reflective of this order that was appearing in mind. Minds were certainly not random on that day.
Have you seen any spikes with days and events that didn't occur until much later? I guess my question is do you see the spikes happen when the event occurs, or do you sometimes see it as a predictor that you can see a spike maybe one or two days, maybe a week before an actual event occurs?
We haven't looked at that yet. We've looked only at a matter of hours in advance of the event. And it's not because we couldn't do it, but
sure.
Simply the number of analysts available to look at the massive amount of data that we have. I think the total now is probably 10 gigabytes or more. So it just takes a long time to do an analysis of this type. Nevertheless, with a matter of hours before the events, one thing that we have discovered, and we first noticed it with 9/11, is roughly 3 hours before the first jet hit the World Trade Center, we noticed that there was a change in the worldwide network that was going in the direction that it would lead to a very significant statistical spike right around the time that the terrorism was unfolding. But we were able to see that about 3 hours before. So we've since gone back and looked at other kinds of impulse events. We call it an impulse event because it's something that's not predicted in advance and hits suddenly, and then everyone finds out about it quickly. So the other kind of event that we've looked at in some detail are earthquakes.
Uh-huh.
And with earthquakes, we find that there's about a three-hour change that occurs in the random network that corresponds to the earthquake itself. And what this gave us then was a way of testing what is it that we think is actually changing. Is it mind, or is it maybe picking up something physical in the environment?
Like a vibration or something.
Right. So the way we did it then is we went back through a couple of years' worth of earthquakes around the world and separated them into earthquakes that occurred around populated areas and earthquakes that occurred around non-populated areas, like the middle of the Pacific, and then did the analyses separately on those two blocks of data, and basically all of the effect occurs when they're around populated areas. So that suggests that we're dealing with something having to do with people.